Many people have a lot of outward things that they'd really love to change about themselves. So some people, the things that they want changed can be changed pretty easily. So, you know, they get a bit of hair dye, just for men, you know. It changes that gray into lovely dark hair. Some things outwardly can be changed easily. Now, some things then require a bit of effort. You know, if you want to put on some muscle or you want to burn fat, you need to exercise and you need to diet. You need to do something. You need to put a bit of effort into it. Then some of the things you can change if you have a bit of cash. You know, if your teeth are a bit wonky or they're not as white as you want them, you know, you can get those changed if you pay for it. Or if you have a strange nose and you'd like it a different shape, you can pay money to get that changed. Or if you've got a bald patch, you can pay some money and get it re-sewn with hair. It's amazing what cosmetic surgery can do today. So the outward things you want changed, maybe if you had some cash, you could get them changed. And there are some things that people outwardly would love changed but just can't be changed. If you're a man and you've got size 12 or 13 feet, it's a nightmare. You can't get shoes to fit you in any of the shops. You'd love to have your feet shrunk a bit. But there's nothing you can do to change these outward things. Many people today have outward things that they would love changed. But here's what's interesting. Every single person, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your walk of life is, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not a Christian, every single person has things inside them that they would just love to be changed. Every single person has things inside them that they would just love to be taken away or would love to be transformed. Every single person has things inside their hearts that they would love to be different. I wonder what the things that are inside your heart that you wish could be changed. What are those things in your life? Sarah wishes that her selfishness could be changed. You see, Sarah is all too aware that deep down, she is a really selfish person. She's really, really only interested in herself. She's all about herself, what she wants, what she needs. She's not really concerned about other people. Now, you see, if you looked at Sarah, you wouldn't have a clue. You wouldn't have a clue because Sarah actually helps people out quite a lot. But you see, what those people don't know that only Sarah knows is that she only does that because she gets something out of it. She only does that because it makes her feel good. She only does it because she hopes that one day those people might help her. Sarah is deeply aware that she is such a selfish, selfish person. And she hates it about herself. And she wishes it could be changed, but she doesn't think it can be. And then there's Steve. Steve is actually a serial adulterer inside. Everywhere Steve goes, he ends up just staring at attractive women, and then he daydreams about taking them to bed with him. Every moment Steve has, which is private or alone, he's considering looking at pornography. And 9 times out of 10, do you know what he does? Steve inside is just overtaken by inward lust, inward adultery. And do you know what? No one has a clue about it. No one sees this in Steve's heart. And he's too embarrassed to ever speak about it. But he hates it about himself. He hates what's going on inside him. He really wishes it could be changed, but he doesn't think it can be. For Veronica, it's pride and arrogance that's inside her. Every time Veronica meets someone for the first time, do you know what she does? She weighs them up. And in her mind, she thinks about how she's better than them. She's got a better job than them. That makes her feel good about herself. She's got a better looking husband than them. That makes herself feel good about herself. She's better educated. She has more money in the bank. Veronica finds a million reasons to feel superior and better than everyone else. She's racked by pride. She's racked by arrogance. It just means she judges absolutely everyone she comes into contact with. No one has a clue. It's not like she boasts outwardly. But inwardly, this is what her heart is like. And she wishes it could be changed. But she doesn't think it can be. Many people have outward things that they'd love to be changed, but every single person has things going on in their hearts, things going on inside them that they wish were different, that they wish were changed. What are the things like that in your life? Jesus says that this desire is a desire for a pure heart. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about a pure heart, a heart that is pure. But here's the thing, everyone, if they're honest, knows that inside they're not pure in heart. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, we automatically go, that's not us. Because in our hearts we have a mixture of things, don't we, that are good and bad. Not all good. Inside our hearts we have a mixture of things that are beautiful and ugly. Not all beautiful. We have a mixture of things that are right and wrong. Not all right. We have a mixture of things that are godly and godless, not all godly. Our hearts are not pure. The center of our being, our motives, our desires, our thoughts, our attitudes are a mixture of clean and dirty, pure and impure. This week I was learning about gold. Isn't that a strange thing to be learning about? I was reading about gold, and what I didn't realize is that most gold is not pure gold. Most gold is actually a mixture of gold and another type of metal. So 22 carat gold is 91% gold and 9% another metal. And 9 carat gold, well, it's only 37% gold and 63% another metal. Only 24 carat gold is 100% pure gold. And you and I, we don't have 24 carat hearts. We don't. We might have 22 carat hearts. We might be 90% pure and 10% not. We might have 9 carat hearts and be 63% impure and only, you get the idea. We don't have pure hearts. We all have impurity. We all have hearts which contain things we wish weren't there. Now, whenever Jesus sat down at the start of Matthew chapter 5, he sat down with his disciples. And at this time, the thinking was that God actually wasn't concerned with your heart. That's what people thought at the time of Jesus. Even though it's there the whole way through the Old Testament, for some reason, the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, the primary teachers of Israel, were more concerned with outward appearances. And so therefore, the whole of Jewish society was only concerned with the outward. What was important to God was outward behavior, is what people thought. What was important to God was ritual purity, doing the right thing, avoiding pork, avoiding dead bodies, being outwardly pure, outwardly clean. You were meant to do your religious duty. You were meant to perform on the outside, and this is what pleased God. So if you were a religious person, you washed your hands before you ate, and this pleased God. If you were a religious person, you avoided certain foods. You did your duty. If you were a Jew at the time of Jesus, the only thing that mattered in your mind was looking good on the outside. Outward purity was your aim. This is why in this parable of the Good Samaritan, that's why the Levite and the priest don't help the poor man at the side of the road. They think he's dead. And they don't want to be contaminated by him. That's how twisted their thinking is. Inward compassion out the window. Outward purity is all that matters. This is why in Matthew 15, the Pharisees are really annoyed with Jesus' disciples when they don't wash their hands. Outward purity, outward behavior, religious action, that's what matters to God. That was the thinking at the time of Jesus. As long as you look good on the outside, as long as you do your religious duty on the outside, as long as you look pure to everyone else, that's all that matters to God. But here in Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus, like a wrecking ball, smashes this idea to pieces. Jesus, like a grenade, hurtles into this idea and blows it to smithereens. Jesus says in this verse that actually what matters to God is purity of heart. Purity inside. What's inside matters to God. Listen to what he said. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, why does Jesus say this? Why does he say this to his disciples? Well, the first reason he says it is because this is what God is going to do in their lives. These disciples who are sitting in front of Jesus, they've just the chapter before began to follow him. They're just starting out on this adventure of following Jesus. They have no idea what's ahead of them. They have no idea what's coming to them. They've no idea what this is going to look like in their lives. They have no idea what difference it's going to make in their lives. And the reason why Jesus says to them, blessed are the pure in heart, is because he's letting them know in advance what God is going to do in their lives. God is going to purify their hearts. God is going to change these men on the inside. These men, like us, were sitting in front of Jesus and they had things inside them that they hated about themselves. And Jesus says to them, blessed are the pure in heart, because he's saying to them, look, you see, as you follow me, God's going to change you. Those things you hate, he's going to transform. Those things you're ashamed of, he's going to clean up. Guys, as you sit here in front of me, blessed are the pure in heart. God is going to work in your life to purify you. He's going to change you. He's going to transform you. He's going to give you new desires. This is what God is going to do in you, is what Jesus is saying to these guys. And I don't know if you realize that this morning, but this is what God is committed to doing to every follower of Jesus. God is committed to changing us to be like him. See, what's amazing about Jesus, what's amazing about trusting Jesus, what's amazing about following Jesus is that when you trust him, you don't just get forgiven. You do get forgiven, but you don't just get forgiven. You get transformed. You get changed. You get a new heart. You get to be more like Jesus. That's the beauty of what Jesus does. He doesn't just forgive us. He changes us. And right here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, that's what he's telling his disciples. You're going to be changed, lads. You're going to be purified inside, guys. That's what's going to happen to you. And then there's another reason why he does it. And the second reason Jesus says this in Matthew 5, verse 8, is because he wants his disciples to pursue inward purity. He wants that to become their aim. He wants them to go after pure hearts. He wants them to go after being changed inside. You see, the world around these guys said, look, just stick with the outward. Pursue ritual purity, pursue good religion, pursue good behavior. That's what you're to pursue. But Jesus here is saying to them, no, guys, I want you to pursue inward change. I want you to pursue purity of heart. God is going to work in you. And I want you to work yourselves as well alongside God to have your hearts purified. I want you to fight to have a pure heart. I want you to work at having a pure heart. I want you to long for a pure heart. I want this to become something in your life. Jesus is not interested in behavior modification. Jesus is interested in heart transformation. And that's why he tells them this here. He wants them to pursue changed hearts. This morning, as you and I sit here, we all have impure hearts, don't we? Even though we're followers of Christ, we all have hearts that are a mixture of good and bad, beauty and ugliness. And there are some of us who just long to have our hearts changed. And so Jesus says to you this morning, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pursue a pure heart. I don't want you to be just about outward behavior. I want you to pursue inward change. I don't want you to be content with outward religion. I want you to be passionate about inward change. That's what Jesus wants for his disciples. That's what Jesus wants for us. That's what's meant to mark us out. We're not to be people who are just about outward religion, but inward transformation. But here's a question. How on earth do we do it? I mean, seriously, how do we do this? We know how to pursue outward religion. We go to church, we read our Bible, we pray. We know how to pursue outward behavior change. We just try not to do certain things, and we try to do good things. We do our duty. We try not to do things. But how do we pursue pure hearts? Well, I want to suggest that we do four things. And the first one is this. I want to suggest the first thing we do is we acknowledge and confess our inner sin to God. One of the things that we all hate is being made aware of our faults, don't we? When it's time for the appraisal at work, you dread it, don't you? You're going to go in and sit in front of the boss and he might tell you things that are going wrong. He might point out your faults. He might point out where you need to change. Or if you've just played a rugby match and you've got absolutely thrashed and you've had a terrible game and then it comes time to watch the video back with your coach, you're dreading it because you're going to have your faults pointed out. And therefore, the danger is that within our hearts, the default position that we can have is just to ignore the things that are going on in us that are impure. It can be ignore the sins that we're aware of. When God convicts us about an issue of our hearts, like our selfishness or our pride or our lust, our default position will be to ignore it. But here's the thing, if we ignore it, we're never going to deal with it. If we ignore it, we're never going to be cleansed from it. And so whenever you and I are convicted of an inner sin, when we are aware of something ugly inside us, instead of pushing it down and trying to ignore it, we want to lift it up to God. And we want to say to God, God, this is how I am. I am so selfish. I am so filled with pride, Lord. I'm just consumed by lust, Lord. Whatever that inner thing is, the first step to pursuing a pure heart is to confess it to God. It's to acknowledge it, not to ignore it, and to confess it to Him. And I'd also love to encourage you to confess it to someone else. I'd love to encourage you also to confess your inner sin to a friend you trust. You see, one of the problems with inner sin is that no one else sees it. No one else knows about it. No one else has a clue about it. And so there's power in confessing it to someone else because they can pray for you and ask you how you're getting on with dealing it. I have a group of men in my life, and you know what? I confess my inner sin to them. And sometimes you have that, am I going to, am I not, am I going to, am I not? But let me tell you, every single time I do, it's so helpful. Because you know what these men do? They pray for me. And not only that, they say to them, Marty, how are you going with that? Has there been any change? How are you dealing with it? And it keeps it on my radar. And it really helps me go after that inner sin and pursue it and fight it and deal with it. And this morning, I'd love to encourage you to do that. If you have a Christian friend you trust, someone who's not going to blab the other, someone who you don't feel embarrassed by, someone who really knows you, who you love and trust, don't only confess it to God, confess it to them and let them help you. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to fill your mind with scriptures that are directly related to the sin that you're facing. It's really interesting. There's a direct link between our minds and transformation. Paul in Romans 12 writes this, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." What we have in our minds, what we think about, what we ponder actually impacts our heart. And so therefore, what we need to have in our mind is scripture. We need to have God's word in our mind. We need to be pondering that all of the time. I want to encourage you this morning to get God's word into your mind. Get verses of scripture that deal directly with the sin that you want to fight. If it's selfishness, get scripture verses that are about selfishness. If it's lust, get scripture verses that are about lust. If it's pride, get scripture verses that are about pride. Now, some of you are sitting here going, Marty, I don't know my Bible that well to find all those things. Google's brilliant, isn't it? Google it. Scripture verses about X. Print them out. Commit them to memory. Think about them. Day in, day out, morning, noon, night. Ponder the word of God in your mind. And then use it to fight temptation like Jesus did in the wilderness. Now, some of you now are thinking, well, Marty, that's great as well. Now, I knew I could find those verses online, but I could never remember them. I couldn't retain them. Okay, if that's you, stick them in the dashboard of your car. Put them on a wee post-it note. Stick them there. Stick them on the mirror in your bathroom. Stick them on the computer at work. Put them in places where you can see them as you go through your day and meditate on Scripture and be filled with Scripture and have your mind filled with these good, godly thoughts. Because there is a direct link by what we think about and the transformation of our hearts. The third thing that we need to do is pray. We need to plead with God to change us. It's God who does the work of transformation ultimately. It's God who gives us new desires. It's God who is ultimately going to make us more pure. And so therefore, we need to ask him for purity in our lives. We need to ask him to help us in the battle. We need to ask him to help us as we pursue purity. We need to ask him to change our hearts. We need to ask God to work in us. There's a great psalm, Psalm 51. David, in this psalm, he sinned against God by committing adultery. And in this prayer, he turns to God and he seeks forgiveness. And the whole psalm is really him turning to God and seeking this forgiveness. But there is a great line in it. He says this, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart." David knows that his heart has been filled with lust that has then ended up in taking action and committing adultery. David realizes that actually what he needs is a clean, new, transformed heart. And he knows that only God can ultimately do that. And so he says to God, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And this morning, if you're serious about inward change, pray. Ask God to help you. Pray to him in the fight. Pray to him when you're tempted. Pray to him when you see these things rear their ugly heads and say to him, "Dear Lord, please change this in me. Give me a clean heart." And then the fourth thing I want to encourage you to do as you pursue purity is to keep going. Persevere. There's an urban legend that Winston Churchill was asked to give a speech at a school one day. And they said to him, "Look, can you just tell us, you know, what the secret is, what we should be doing as young people? Just tell that to the boys." And apparently Winston Churchill stood up and he just says, "Never give up, never give up, never give up." And he sat down. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Short speech. If you got a fee, he earned his money there easily. But that's the point, isn't it? If you and I are going to pursue purity, we need to never give up. Because here's the reality, we're going to fail. We're going to muck it up. We might go well for a while. We might feel that we're being transformed. We might feel that we're being changed. We might be battling sin inside and feel like we're doing a good job. But sooner or later, we're going to fall again. Sooner or later, we're going to muck it up. Sooner or later, that selfishness is going to come out again. But we're not to give up. We're to keep fighting. We're to keep battling. We're to keep pursuing it. This morning, I want to encourage you as God's people, don't settle for behavior modification in your lives. Just don't settle for it. Don't settle for it. Be determined only to settle for heart transformation. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep pursuing. I want to finish now with some bad news and some good news. So we'll go for the bad news first, because it's always good to have the bad news before the good news. And the bad news is this. The bad news is that this side of eternity, you and I are never going to have pure hearts. Even though you're going to pursue purity, even though God is changing you, this side of heaven, you're never going to have pure hearts. You're never going to be 24-carat Christians. Your hearts are always going to be this mixture of beauty and ugliness. They're always going to be polluted. They're never going to be wholly pure. We will be changed. We will be transformed. We will be made more like Jesus in this life. But we're never going to have pure hearts this side of heaven. There's always going to be things in us we wish were different. There's always going to be things in us that we're working on. But here's the good news. One day we will have pure hearts. One day, we will have absolutely 100% 24-carat hearts. All these things that are in us that we hate, our selfishness, our pride, our laziness, the things we think about that just disgust us, the things inside us that we hate, do you know what? one day these things will be out of us. One day we will be rid of these things. One day we will have 24-carat hearts. When Jesus returns, he is going to change us. When we are raised again, we are going to have resurrected bodies with new minds and new hearts that are perfect, just like Jesus was. And on that day, we are going to see God. What does that mean? It means we're going to be able to live in his presence. If you and I make an appointment to go and see the doctor, we don't want to go down to the health center and see a picture of her, do we? We want to go down to the health center and be in her presence. And you and I one day are going to have perfectly pure hearts. And on that day, not only will we be free of these things we hate, but we will see God. We will be in his presence. We will see his glory. It will be better than the best thing you've ever seen times a billion. It will be better than that. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus says, for they shall see God. This morning there are some of you in here and you're not followers of Jesus. You're not really Christians. And you know that in your heart. And the people around you might not have a clue. Because outwardly you're well behaved. And outwardly you do your religious duty. And outwardly to all the world, you're putting on a good show. But inwardly you know that you've not trusted Jesus. Inwardly you know that you're separated from God. Inwardly you know that you're not a follower of Christ. And there are things in you that you wish you could change, but you can't. But this morning there is an invitation for you. And that invitation is to trust in Jesus. That invitation is to have your sin, your inward dirtiness forgiven, but not only that, to be changed. That's what Christ offers you this morning. He offers you not just behavior modification. He offers you inward change. He offers you the joy of knowing your sin is forgiven. And this morning, if you're not a believer, if you're not a follower of Christ, I just want you to know that he is offered to you today and that you can accept him. Let me pray for us as we leave here to pursue purity.